So Justin Faust gave up his scholarship, and I don't even know the reason. I never did know why he did it, but he gave it up. And I accepted the scholarship, which was a very good one for me. He paid me $300, which is a large sum of money in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And on that $300, I went to the University of Illinois and did my graduate work. And when I got there, they gave me a deficiency of 32 hours of college work that I was supposed to take. And when I asked what courses I should take, they said, well, wait, and you make up this deficiency next year.
Mm-hmm.
This was in my freshman year when I first came. The only thing I remember really about that first freshman year. And what I didn't realize was they wanted me under observation for a year to see how I'd do.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the first year, I went back to them and asked them what I should do now to make up this 32-hour deficiency. And they said, don't worry about it. You don't need to make it up anymore.
Ah, I see.
Incidentally, in my graduate at the University of Illinois, because of the fact that I had this pretty excellent memory at that time, I got all A's in my graduate mathematics.
Oh, really?
And I didn't major in astronomy, as I told you a while ago. That interest came later. I majored in physics. I mean, I minored in physics. Mm-hmm. I was a major in mathematics and minored in physics.
Mm-hmm.
And worked under a professor who was a Swiss professor, and his interest was in a kind of mathematics which he had to do with the development of things which would illustrate mathematics principles.
Uh-huh.
And I also was interested in this from my own mechanical standpoint, so that while I did my graduate thesis, was actually a written thesis describing the geometry of a certain surface,
uh-huh,
which the professor assigned to me to study.
Uh-huh.
And I worked out some new properties of it and found out that the surface could be modeled.
Uh-huh.
And so I modeled that surface. It had never been done before. In fact, I read in part of the research that I did on that that it couldn't be modeled.
Huh.
And when I studied it, I realized that it could be.
Uh-huh.
And so, with Professor Imp's enthusiasm, he got money enough to hire to buy the necessary equipment to make this surface.
Mm-hmm.
Which involved, first of all, a frame made out of brass,
mm-hmm,
and with strings, mm-hmm, running across the frame,
mm-hmm,
and then I would put beads on,
mm-hmm,
the strings where the surface would cut those strings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got the surface made, it took me quite a while. I was several months doing it, in addition to studying the various other things that I had to do. The surface appeared to me, and also to Professor Imps, that it was possible to do it in plaster.
Mm-hmm.
This was the ordinary building plaster, I think, that,
mm-hmm,
not the kind that you put on walls, but it has a special name that skips me right now. But anyway, there was a man at Illinois who was a technician, and he was a very good with plaster, he could do things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a model of this surface out of clay, just formed it, mm-hmm, the way I knew it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Something like a sculptor, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got it made, then he made a plaster cast of this,
mm-hmm,
so that the model that I had made with the reeds and strings was finally made in plaster cast.
Mm-hmm.
And 1932, when I went to the Chicago World's Fair, and was interested, of course, in the mathematical exhibits that they had there, which were, they had several from the University of Illinois, and I was very pleased to find the model of the weather surface, which I had built at the Chicago World's Fair in 1932. So I was very much set up on that. Of course, 1932 was long after I had been here at Louisville.
Sure.
I came here in 29. So that much of it, that was a part of my thesis. But the other part of it, the description of this surface was good enough so that I got it published. Unfortunately, as I told you several weeks ago, I had the published part of it. I had it in my
corner,
and it got burned up.
Where was it published? Where was it published?
That's what I don't remember.
Oh, I see.
And therefore, I am unable to be able to look it up in any magazine, because I don't remember what it was published in. It was published in 1929 in one of the mathematical journals. When I graduated, I think my undergraduate career was not too startling, except that I was a good student, but and on account of this published thesis, I was able to get a complete full membership in Sigma Xi, which is the Honorary Scientific Society. I was elected to that. I was also asked by one of the members of Phi Beta Kappa if I would be willing to join Phi Beta Kappa. I said, well, sure, I certainly would be. But I never got an official invitation, and I think my reason, the reason for it was that they looked up my undergraduate record. They found that D in English. And so therefore, I didn't get invited to join Phi Beta Kappa, either then or since. Which doesn't bother me too much. But I did get a Sigma Xi, and that I was very pleased to get that thing, because most of the graduate students there got the associate membership, and then, of course, later, if they showed signs of research. But my thesis was a very good one, as I recall. But it didn't set the world on fire, of course, and I don't think anybody follow up on it anymore, but I did a very good job of describing the surface that had given the mathematical definition. I couldn't go through with it now, I wouldn't attempt to.
Let me ask you two questions, two backup questions. One was, you've indicated, and I know anyway, that you have considerable mechanical skills.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wondered where you acquired those.
I found those skills, as I told you. I worked in a machine shop. I worked in a machine shop 2 years in college while I was going to school. I worked at night. And then I took off 1 year and worked in this same shop full time for 1 year because I was running short of funds. And I just had to quit. See, I started in college in 1918 and graduated in 1924.
I see.
And as a result of which, of course, the people that I started with graduated 2 years before that. And but that didn't bother me because I had an awful feeling, and I've had it ever since all my life, of running in debt. I just couldn't do it, and so therefore I worked until I got money enough, and then I went on into college. And then in 1922, I took off and taught in this high school that I was telling you about a moment ago in Chattanooga, Michigan. And I did that, not because I wanted to teach in high school. I knew then I wanted to become a college teacher, but I just had to have money again, and if you may remember, you probably don't, I'm sure you don't, 1922 was a minor depression.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like 1930.
Mm-hmm.
1922 was a slight depression. And the machine shop just was kind of overloaded with students.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't paying too good either.
Mm-hmm.
And the salary involved in teaching was much better than what I was getting at the Union Steel Products Company as a machinist. And so therefore I taught for 1 year because I knew I would enjoy the teaching, and I did. I enjoyed my high school teaching very well, but I knew I didn't want to continue. And so I didn't stay, although I was invited to return. And I went back to college then in 1923 and went the next 2 years, 23 and 24, and finished up my senior year in college in 24. And then I went to Illinois on this deferred scholarship that the other fellow didn't want, which I was very thankful to get. Then after being in University of Illinois for 1 year, they invited me to teach in the institution.
Uh-huh.
So I taught one course, as I recall, for $1,500. Now, it may be somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500. I don't remember for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was a real sum of money for me then. And so I snapped it up, and then for the rest of my 2 years, 3 years in, no, yeah, 3 years in, I did my graduate work in 4 years, so freshman year I was on a $300 scholarship. And then, from then on, through my senior year, I taught this one course in algebra and trigonometry and, well, mostly the freshman subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the usual graduate slave that they had
yeah.
that did the undergraduate
yeah.
work.
Yeah. Let me ask you one other question I want to ask you before we go on any further.
Yeah.
Was what was your farm like? You said you were a farm boy, and what was your farm
like? Well, yeah, my father was a railroad worker. He was first of all a seaman.
Uh-huh.
And he, I don't know how long he was as a seaman, but he went to work for a railroad company.
Mm-hmm.
And then during his work as a railroad man, he was a repairman.
Mm-hmm.
For repairing cars.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that sort of thing. And he got he was working on a car during a heavy rainstorm and the cold, and he contracted some kind of disease. I don't remember what. It had to do with the swelling in the legs and in the ankles. I guess they call it emphysema, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so he bought this farm up in Michigan because he couldn't work in the railroad anymore at the job that he was really qualified to do. So my father wasn't a farmer either. He just went on the farm.
I see.
And in order to raise money enough to feed the family,
uh-huh.
he had to work in the wintertime in the lumber woods. And he did.
I see.
He built his own equipment. He built his own sleigh and whatever else needed to be done, and repaired his own harnesses,
uh-huh.
and did all that.
Yeah.
My father was very good with tools.
Yeah.
He was excellent.
Yeah.
Better than I've ever been as far as handwork is
uh-huh.
concerned. But I've had this machine work idea all along, except that I didn't want to do it as a profession.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did your father live when he was a railroader before he...
He was in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And then he got this farm up in Wexford County, which is about 25 miles south of Traverse City. Traverse City is the town I think most people would know. Cadillac was the county seat, and these are all small towns. They're not anymore, but they used to be. Traverse City now, of course, is a booming tourist town.
Uh-huh.
Very expensive.
As far as you know, has your family lived in Michigan for some time, or had?
I was on the farm for 17 years.
Yeah.
And at the end of 17 years, at my sister's insistence and help, I said, this is the last of farm work that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got the chance to go to high school,
mm-hmm.
I worked out from my 8th grade to high school. I think I worked out for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
1 year as a farm laborer, and
mm-hmm.
I gave that up, and then I worked another year in a local machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, they made furniture, as I recall. I can't remember too much about it. And I just realized all at once that this wasn't the kind of thing
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to do, that I wouldn't become very good at it because I didn't like it. And I remember 1 year I worked for $15 a month in boards during the summer on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an experience that very few people now have ever had, because one of the jobs that I had, which I don't think anybody now ever has done, is to handle and new grain, to cut grain by hand.
Mm-hmm.
We had an instrument that's known as a cradle.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
unless you know what a cradle is, that's too hard to describe. But I knew how to handle that, and
mm-hmm.
I did. And I worked out in the field with everybody else and kept up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But since I was young, I only got this $15 a month and more. But it was enough to start me in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able then to buy books and so forth with money that I'd earned doing odd jobs around on the farm, because I didn't expect it, and I have no regrets, but my family simply wasn't able to put me through school.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it with my other brother and my two sisters. They weren't put through school either. My oldest sister was very much interested in educational activities and taught school for quite a while, but she taught it on these examinations that I was telling you about that were given by the county. And while she was in school, then she took correspondence courses and finally finished up and got her high school diploma. But my sister would have loved the work that I did, but she just wasn't able to go to college. She had a family, and said, take care of that.
As far as you know, were your ancestors, your grandparents from Michigan? I'm just...
No, my grandfather was a cobbler. He repaired shoes.
Was he?
But his name was Spencer.
Spencer.
And I wonder sometimes if that had anything to do with the Spencer in England. He came from England.
Your grandfather came from England to Michigan. From Michigan.
And, he was down in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Your grandfather Moore?
No.
Oh, your
Spencer.
Your grandfather Spencer.
That's on my mother's side.
Okay.
Now, the grandfather Moore, there was no such animal. For the simple reason that my father, parents, died.
I see.
And he was adopted,
I see,
by a family by the name of Moore.
I see.
We know very little.
I see.
In fact,
I see.
I'd say we know nothing about my father's ancestors.
I see. Did you go from Illinois to U of L?
That's right.
How did you come to U of
L? Well, I'll tell you. This is an interesting story. In my third year in Louisville as a graduate student,
uh-huh.
I was very much acquainted with a Kentucky
uh-huh.
man by the name of Stevenson.
Uh-huh.
The name was Guy Stevenson.
Yeah.
He's well known at the University of Louisville.
Sure.
And he was doing his senior year that year, and he invited me In fact, the matter is, I guess we invited each other because he came to live and boarded, and we actually roomed together at the place where I was doing my rooming at the University of Illinois. So I had him as a roommate during his senior year, and then he was invited to come to Louisville on the death of Mr. Schiff, who committed suicide. So Dr. Stevenson came here at the University of Louisville. How he got his invitation, I don't know. I never asked, and he never told me. So I have no way of knowing why he came here. But I know for sure how I came here, because Mr. Hill, if you look in the records, he was a mathematics teacher that came here and discovered, this is off the record really, but I don't mind putting it on tape, because anybody that knew Mr. Hill knew that he was incapable of teaching college mathematics, but he could do a very good job of teaching on the high school level. He was a high school teacher before he came here. And so he was given the job as registrar, and he made a very good registrar. And he kept his title of professor of mathematics,
I think.
But when he became registrar, then there was a vacancy in the department, and Dr. Stevenson was here by himself. And so he thought of me. And another thing that's of interest was that after I graduated, 2 years later, this is 2 years after Dr. Steve came here, Dr. Townsend, who was head of the math department, came to me when I got my degree, and he said, "Now, Walter, if you can do research, we'll invite you to stay. But we'll give you 2 years, and at the end of 2 years, you can expect to move to somewhere else if you find that you can't do suitable research."
Invite you to stay on the faculty of Illinois?
I was on the faculty of the University of Illinois.
I see.
As an assistant, though. Not an assistant professor. I was just called an assistant.
Yeah.
And I taught, during that year, I taught courses up to the level of sophomore.
I see.
Freshman, sophomore courses. I didn't teach any advanced courses at all in the college program. Of course, I didn't teach any graduate work, obviously. But due to the fact that I had this good record in math, Dr. Townsend gave me this teaching position during my graduate career. And then after that, he said, "If you can do research, you'll be invited to stay. But if you can't do research, then we hope that you will find some other location." So I taught 1 year at the University of Illinois, and then Dr. Stevenson wanted to know if I wanted to come to Illinois. And I knew by that time that I wasn't going to be able to do the kind of research that I was willing to publish. Now, I did turn in one paper. I don't remember at all anymore about what it was about, but I remember turning in one that I had worked on after my doctor's degree. And when I got it back from the referee, that paper had so many corrections that I wrote back to the publisher of the magazine that I submitted it to, and they offered to publish it with the reviewer's corrections. And I just wrote back and told them, I said, "If you publish this thesis, it's not mine anymore, and I'm not willing to have it published." So that blew up, and I don't know, I don't think it was even any good after the reviewer got through with it, but at least it was different from what I'd put in. And I'm quite certain that what I had wasn't worth publishing either. I'm frank about that. And
I bet it was.
So when I came then to the University of Louisville in 1929, you might be interested to know that I picked up a wife in Illinois. And very good one. She was a chem major, And she was within a year of her doctor's degree, but she decided that she'd like a missus better than the doctor's. And so she married me, and we lived together at Illinois for that 1 year. She married me in 1929, and after I got my degree, and during the summer, 1928, that's when I got my degree, 4 years after I graduated from college. I graduated in 1924, and I got my doctorate degree in 1928, and my missus I got in 1928. And we didn't have money enough, really, to come to Louisville. Remember, I was on an assistant at University of Illinois, which really wasn't paying very big money. And when Dr. Stevenson invited me to come here at the University of Louisville, I was tickled, and I immediately set out during that summer of 1929. My wife and I, instead of coming by bus or by any other transportation, we just got out and thumbed our way to Louisville. And at that time, the Clark Bridge had not yet been built, and we came across the Ohio on a ferry at the foot of 4th Street.
You hitchhiked to Louisville.
We hitchhiked to Louisville for our interview, because I wasn't sure I was going to get the job, and I couldn't, I was still under this same phobia that I've had of going in debt, and I wouldn't borrow the money for transportation to come to Louisville, so we just got out and hitchhiked. We were very successful at it, by the way. We got here about as quick as you could drive. And my wife helped, really, in doing that. During my vacations in Illinois, I hitchhiked down into Mississippi, and I hitchhiked home twice, going back up into Michigan. And that's the way I traveled, on my thumb. At somebody else's expense. When we got here, Dr. Kemp, who was present, he was invited to Louisville from Northwestern, I think it was, or somewhere up in Michigan, Wisconsin. He was installed as president of the University of Louisville at that time, and so he and I had a good conversation, and I probably told him about this experience I had with research. And he said, at Louisville, you're not expected to do research. We want teachers. And so that agreed with me all right. And my reputation was good enough so that I got the amazing salary and the appointment as an assistant professor, mind you, at the salary of $3,000. Which was very good, by the way. They were paying most of the beginning people $2,500 to $2,600. So I'm really in seventh heaven as far as that's concerned. And my wife and I then hiked back to Champaign, Illinois, and got our things ready. And then, of course, we moved to in the fall. And then I knew that I could spend my last few pennies for transportation, and we came here but in style in the fall in a regular commercial line. But I came here for the interview in 1929 hitchhiking.
What were your first impressions of the university?
I had seen the university in the summer of 1929, you would have not been very much impressed, because the grass was dry. There were roadways of cinder blocks, not cinder blocks, but cinders, cinder roadways around the place. You remember this was a reform school in the beginning, and the university took it over and made it into a college, which is very good. And the physical part of it didn't appeal to me, but the people that I met here, Dr. Stevens, of course, was my